and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So this morning, I want to talk about the distinctive of what it means to be a generous church, to be a generous people. How many of you know God's called us to live lives of generosity? God's called us to live lives where we're not actually at the center of it, believe it or not. Now that is certainly a radical statement in the culture that we live in. The culture of the selfie, where we'd say that I is certainly at the center of everything. Actually, God says, no, I don't want I to be the center of your life. I want me to be at the center of your life. And the distinctive of what it means to put God first. What does it mean to have God as not just the savior of my life, but the Lord of my life too? And they're two separate things, I believe. You know, we can discover, the most important thing is discover Jesus as our savior, but then we need to spend the rest of our life, him leading us as our Lord. And he's first in our life. And so we're going to talk about this idea, the principle of the first. And we're going to talk about it very practically when it comes to our financial world and our life and how you and I can put God first in this area of generosity and how you and I can put God first, particularly in the area of our finances as well. And I was just thinking about, you know, a little bit about, you know, my background as I was, you know, preparing this message over the last week and thinking about how much that I have been the beneficiary of people who have walked in the fullness of God's counsel in their own life, have many times taken ground in things that are very significant in the life of the church. And then I was able to then capture these principles from the Word of God and then find those principles produce blessing and fruitfulness in my life. And I came here at the church. I first discovered Christ and I was born again when I was 17 years old, just out of high school, and really had not much of a church background at all, and particularly had no idea about what God's principles were for my finances and the fact that even there was such a thing as the economy of God and that God would have me actually operate in faith in the area of my finances and as well. And so, but I was the beneficiary of the fact that when I came here at 17, 18 years old, I heard people just like Paul, who just shared so well this morning on the principle of the tithe. I had people like that when I was 17 years old talking to me about the principles of giving and the principles of tithing. And it was radical for me because I'm like, what is this all about? Like, truthfully, I like, what is that? Like a tenth, a 10%? What? Like, what? Why would I do that? Why would I? What? Like, that was my concept. But then I had people explain and teach and share in a, not in a religious way or not in a condemning way, but in a life-giving way to help me prosper. And I'm so thankful when I look back on it that at 17, 18 years old, that I had people, I had leaders and I had pastors and I had people in my life who were able to show me God's ways of being able to prosper and be blessed in my life. And that actually that one of the main ways that we walk in God's blessing and prosperity will be through our giving. And so I thought about that because I thought, you know what, I'm glad I got taught that when I was young before the stakes got a lot higher. I'm glad I was taught that at 17 because the stakes, I'm quite honest with you, when I was 17 years old, in my financial world, weren't that high. I was studying a Bachelor of Arts degree and with a solid 12 contact hours a week. And two of those hours were watching a movie. Best degree ever. I had so much fun that year. I was working straight out of high school. This will show my age. I was working as a pizza delivery driver for a company called Ribbit's Pizza Delivery. Does anyone remember Ribbit's? You do. You probably ordered pizza and ribs from them. I was the Ribbit's Pizza Delivery guy. I was borrowing my mum's Toyota Camry, which was fantastic. She let me do that for my first job, delivering Ribbit's. And it lasted for a solid 6 weeks, earned a little bit of income. It lasted until I went and did a delivery at someone's house where there wasn't much light around. At least that was my excuse. And I happened to reverse mum's Camry into the back of a very large rock and dented the back. Unfortunately, that was the point where mum revoked the Camry use and my job finished. So I went on to other work. But I was thinking about that because about 17 years old, I think I had my delivery job. And I had a little bit of Aus study kind of payments to help me with my study. And it was probably about $250 a week income. And so my tithe, my 25 bucks a week, you know, wasn't kind of massive, you know, but you know, it was reasonable in my world at that time. But I'm so thankful that principle got ingrained in me at that age, because it's been that which has helped me through a lot more difficult seasons and challenging seasons in my life. And it's helped for me to be able to establish, first of all, that God doesn't just want to be the Lord over my heart. He wants to be the Lord over every area of my life. He wants to be the Lord over my family. He wants to be the Lord over my marriage. He wants to be the Lord over everything that's happening in my workplace and my business. He wants to be Lord over my financial world. And it wasn't just for a Sunday, 1.5 hour experience. He wanted to walk with me 24/7 and be my Lord. And so through that, I'm so thankful that I was taught that. And I was so thankful that I'm in a church that had the faith and also the pioneering spirit to really teach on this area of money and giving with such clarity and I believe with such balance. And I also believe with such a heart to see people blessed in life. And so this morning, I just want to share with you this morning what I believe are some of the principles that I've learned over the years and many years in financially and also in the area of giving. And I want to talk to you this morning, not just about for you and I, how we can be generous, but this morning, I want to talk about this morning, what does the principle, what does the promise, and what does the power of the tithe happen in our life? And I believe in the Word of God, we find these three things in place. We find the principle of tithing. We find the promises that God gives us when we tithe, and then we find the power that's released in our lives through tithing. Are you ready for that this morning? All right, here we go this morning. I want to share with you some principles of the tithe this morning. Here's the first one. We're going to move through these pretty quick. First of all, what does tithe mean? Well, in the Bible, the word tithe, it means tenth. It means a tenth or 10%. It means to give 10%, to give a tenth of something. When I was very young, like 5 or 6 years old, we had a little bit of a church experience. When I was growing up, for a few years, we'd go to a traditional church, and they did have a moment, but they didn't call it giving. They called it a collection. And I remember that very young. There was many parts of the service I don't remember, but that was a point that I would particularly perk up on. And there was a reason that I would kind of perk up at this point in the service that I would go to, and that's because they'd call it the pass the plate moment. And they'd pass around these metal plates that went around through from aisle to aisle. And for me, I was about 7 years old. It was a great moment because I would straight away hit up my mom or my dad who was there to raid their purse or their wallet. And I wanted to get as many coins as I possibly could. And the reason I was wanting to get as many coins as I possibly could wasn't the expression of a seven-year-old's generosity. I'm sure it wasn't that. It was that the sound of those coins hitting the metal plates was so awesome. And so loud, and I was a little bit annoying, I think. And so I would just get as many coins, and so would my sisters and I. And so when the plate would come around, we'd be like, I'd try to lob the coins, you know, just sort of kind of bang, bang, bang on the thing as I went around. And that was my thought. But, you know, the idea and the principle was giving, but it wasn't actually the principle teaching of tithing. Because when I think about it, it wasn't so much that we were ever taught that I can remember in there about what tithing was all about. It was more, the idea was we were taught to give a collection. So in other words, it was kind of like if we had something spare that we could throw it in the plate, and that was good. And while that was good, it wasn't the principle that the Bible teaches, which is the principle of tithing. Tithing means to bring a tenth. That's the first thing. Here's the second principle that we find in the Bible is that we're to tithe on what's called the increase in our life, the increase. In Proverbs 3 verse 9, it says it this way, honor the Lord with your possessions. Isn't it amazing that actually we're going to talk about the tithe here, but the first thing it speaks about here is it's a culture of honor that we bring to God. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then he will fill your barns and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so we see this idea here. It says here, we're to bring the first fruits. There's almost two words that are interchangeable in the Bible. It uses the word tithe and it uses the word first fruits. The reason they use that word first fruits, Paul was talking a little bit about this idea in terms of an agricultural context. That was speaking to people who predominantly were getting their living from out of an agricultural context, from out of farming. And so the idea of first fruits was in societies before there was currency or money, the what you bring, your wealth was found in your crops. It was found in what you're able to harvest. And so the principle that was being taught here to God's people was simple, is that they were to bring the first fruits. So when a crop would harvest, the first part of that harvest, the first fruits, the farmer was to collect that, the family were to collect that, and they were to bring the first fruits to the house of God. The idea, it says, on your increase, it simply means this. It means what you've received in your life, your income in your life. and they were to bring that. And so in our context today, obviously, we don't live in a society, for most of us, where we're doing agricultural business. But the principle is still the same. The principle of increase, it means this. It means the things that we have received in our life, our income. It could be our wages or salary. It could be bonuses or commission. It could be the net profit that I receive from the sale of something in my life. So, for example, if I bought a set of jousting sticks for $50... Come on, I'm testing out fans of the castle here this morning. Yes, just watch the movie. If I bought jousting sticks for $50, I sold the jousting sticks for $100, that's $50 profit. So that's the increase, right? I tithe on the increase. And that's the principle in the Bible, is we're to tithe on what we are blessed with, what we receive in our life. Here's the third principle. We're to tithe. Tithe actually doesn't just mean tenth. It actually means first as well. First. You see, the tithe is not the last. It's not the second last. It actually refers to bringing the first things to God. In Exodus 23, verse 19, this is in the Amplified, just so you can get the wording here. It says, "The first of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." So there's a principle that's behind this, which we need to understand. You see, the reason God, I believe, the reason God was so insistent on this idea of it being the first was that when we would bring first things to God, it was a very powerful and a very real way of saying, God, you are first in my life. So it's saying, God's saying, I want you to bring the first 10% for me, because as you bring the first 10%, it's a declaration in my life, and particularly in the area of my financial world, that God, that you are Lord over my finances. I'm making you first. You're my source. You're my provider. And so the principle here is that I am setting God as my provider and my source in my financial world. And I believe that principle we find everywhere throughout the Bible and actually in our lives as well. In fact, the principle of the first, it's demonstrated by the fact that you're here today. It's actually by you and I coming together in God's house to worship God together, we're actually making a declaration, and we're saying, God, Sunday is the first day of the week. God, I'm putting you first in my time. I'm putting you first in my week. I'm putting you first in my world. Because that principle here, that we know that we're establishing God as Lord. He's Lord over my finances. He's Lord over my time. He's Lord over my heart. He's Lord over everything. Amen. And so the principle of the tithe is putting God first. The next principle we find through the Bible is we tithe to the local church. It says, bring the first fruits of your ground into the house of the Lord your God. And so there was a direction you were to take it to. It wasn't just random. It wasn't just for people to go, well, you know, the tithe, I could give it here, or I could give it there, or I could give it there, or wherever the God leads me, I'll bring the tithe over there. No, God said, there's a place I want you to bring the tithe to. The place I want you to bring the tithe to, I want you to bring it to the house of the Lord, your God. And so that expression is simply this. It means we're to bring the tithe to the church where we belong. The church that we fellowship in, the church that we're a part of. In that Old Testament context, there was a very practical idea attached to that as well. And that they talked about this idea of bringing it into the storehouse. So within every local community, though, there was a setting up of a storehouse in that way. People were to bring their tithe, their first fruits, into this storehouse. That tithe would actually become the very basis which would help to look after and feed the priests and their families who were told not to earn a wage from outside of what they did. And so people would bring their tithes into the storehouse, not only to look after the priests, but also as well to bring blessing into their life. And so that principle is so powerful that we are to bring the tithe into the local church. And so here's the next one. The tithe is holy and belongs to God. Sometimes we think about holiness as being like a state of being. That, that person, they're very holy. And I understand why we think that. But in the Bible, it doesn't really refer to holiness as being a state of being. Holiness is referred to this idea of something or someone that has been set apart for God. So the idea of something being declared holy in the Bible means God saying, I've set this apart as holy to me. It's set apart. It's consecrated to me. It belongs to me. It's actually when God says something's holy, he's making a claim of ownership over it. He's saying it's special to me. It's precious to me. And so here's an analogy for you. I have three children. Sienna, who is 8 years old. Am I right there, darling? Nine. She's nine. I don't like doing this. I always muck up the ages. Sienna's 9, Joel's 12, and Haley's 15. So I want you to imagine I've just set up my 15-year-old. And by the way, every time I mention my kid's name in church, I have to give them money. That's our deal. Let's just, so I mentioned 3. So I'm giving. I'm generous today. Haley, Joel, and Sienna. And so if I line them up here, imagine if I took my youngest, so my 9-year-old, Sienna, and I said, Sienna, you know what? You're special. So come and stand over here away from your brother and sister. You're set apart to me. You're holy. And I looked at my other kids. Can you imagine, first of all, how stoked Sienna would be? How gutted her brother and sister would be over there? Because it's me, I'm saying, you're special, you're set apart. That's the idea of holiness in the Bible. It's actually God saying, I'm setting this apart. I'm declaring it. There are many things in the Bible God consecrates and says are holy. Listen to this one. Leviticus 27 verse 30. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit that's on the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord's. Powerful idea. So from God's point of view, he says, the tithe, it belongs to me. It's mine. So from God's point of view, what he's saying to you and I, he's saying that first 10%, he's saying that's holy. That's to be consecrated to me. The reason God wants us to bring the tithe to him is he's saying that there I have set apart for you to bring an offering to me, for you to bring this as a gift to me, for you to bring that as an expression of your honor and your devotion to me. And so God declares, he says, that's holy. That's mine. And I love it, you know, in the Bible, you know, it talks about many times about the blessing of the tithe and what that can produce. It also, and you know, the Bible doesn't just have blessings listed through, it also has a couple of warnings along the way as well. And there's a story in the Bible in the book of Joshua. And it's a story about Joshua leading God's people and to take a city by the name of Jericho. Now, Jericho, you need to know this. It was the first of the major cities throughout the promised land. So God had promised his people this place called the promised land. And he said, this city here, Jericho, this is the first city. Fascinating. Well, before Joshua is able to take the city, God says, I want you to know something. Jericho, the first city, says, I don't want you to take any of the spoils for yourself. All of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious things, they are to be devoted to me. Do you know nowhere else through any of the other cities that they took did God ask that? It was only the first. God was establishing this same principle of the setting apart of the first things to God. He says, I want you to set that apart. And Joshua is a wise man. He's like, yeah, we'll do that. And he tells all the people, do not take the gold. Do not take the silver. We're going to devote it all to God. It's going to be an offering to him. Unfortunately, there was a guy who didn't heed this. His name was Achan. And so when they went and they took the city, great miracle, you know, the walls of Jericho came down. They went in, triumph. God was with them. Power of God was there. Got all the spoils back in. Everyone brings all the devoted things back in, except for one guy. His name's Achan. Achan takes the gold and silver, goes back to his tent, digs a hole, buries it underneath, covers it up and says, I'm going to keep this stuff away from me and my family. And unfortunately, no one else knew about it. And so Joshua leads the people on their next conquest. And instead of victory, guess what happens? They experienced defeat for the first time. And so it leads them on this place to go, what happened, God? What happened? Eventually they find out what Achan has done. See, here's the thing the Bible is trying to teach us in here. It's trying to teach us that, you know what? When you and I give the first things to God, we will walk in God's blessing and prosperity. His favor will go with us. It's his promise. But he says, if we don't, he said, there's also a consequence in our life. Achan experienced that consequence. If you want to experience, see what that is, just read the Bible. Unfortunately, it wasn't a great ending for Achan at that point. But the principle is there the same. The principle is this, that God says the tithe, it belongs to me and it's holy to me. It's set apart for me. And I love it because the Bible says that if we would bring all the tithe into the storehouse, there's a promise too. He says, if you will bring that in, he says, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Isn't that an incredible idea? Just stop and think about this. Another translation said it this way. If you will bring the tithe into the storehouse, God says, I will open up the floodgates of heaven. Have you ever seen when there's been like a massive rain event and one of those dams are kind of like hitting that point and they kind of release the floodgates that come down? That's the picture. God says that, you know what, in our life, this is the most powerful thing. God says in our life, you and I get to decide whether the windows of heaven are open or closed on our life. And it's all based on our response to the tithe. God's promise here is that he says, you can test me in this and see if I will not do something. He says, I will throw open the floodgates of heaven. In fact, I will pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it because God God is into the us walking under the open heaven of God. Here's another principle. Tithing is about stewardship. Tithing is about teaching us, I believe, principles of stewardship in our life. You know what? David was a person who not only loved the house of God, but he was devoted to building a house for God. In fact, his son Solomon eventually built it. But you know what? Even though David didn't get to build the house of God, the Bible teaches us and shows us that he actually gave an incredible offering for the house of God. In fact, if you were to take the offering that David gave from out of his own personal wealth in his life, most people today would evaluate that as being in the billions. Incredible offering that David gave. But I love David's prayer after he gave that offering. Listen to what he said. He prayed this prayer. He says, "But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you, God? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us." David understood everything he had and everything that he was given was all from the gracious hand of God. David understood that he was a steward of everything God had given him. He was a steward of the life God had given him. He was a steward of the gifts God had given him. And he was a steward of the blessing and the financial blessing that he had encountered in his life. And David said, "You know what? I've come to understand this. Everything that I have comes from you, God. And listen, God, I only give anyway what you first gave me." And here's what I've discovered. When you and I understand that everything that we have, everything that we have in our life, it actually comes from God's loving heart and his gracious hand. When you understand it all belongs to God, it all came by him. Guess what? When you understand that he's actually the owner, he's actually the one who's given it all to me. Guess what? Giving becomes easy. Giving becomes, because why? Because it's God's anyway. Everything we give God, we only give because you first given to us. And I've discovered this, you know, God has absolutely no problem with us having money. Absolutely no problem at all. You go through the Bible and you see person after person who walks in the ways of God and also discovers the blessing and prosperity of God in their financial world. You'll see it time after time. God has no problem with us having money, but he does have a problem with letting money have us. Here's the principle that's in play. Money, listen, money is a fantastic servant, but it's a terrible master. And God does not want anyone else or anything else to be our master or control us. God wants actually us to live under the freedom of walking with him and him being our Lord. Amen. And here's the last principle. And I'm going to talk and finish about the promises of the tithe. You know what? Tithing sets the direction of my heart. I believe that actually God, tithing, the principle of tithing is in the Bible. It's there to help us because it actually helps us to set the direction of my heart. Just a couple of months ago, we brought Wendy a new car. It was the first time we bought a new car for Wendy in a while. She'd been driven around the Holden Commodore for a while, and we got to bless her with a new car. That was a good day. And I want to tell you that my response as a dad was probably maybe familiar to a few of you who have ever bought a new car before. I declared to my three children once we brought that new car that there would be no eating, that there would be no drinking, and there would be even no breathing in this car. Heavily, at all, nothing, nothing. I laid down that law. I was like, this will not go the way of my car. We're gonna look after this car. And that rule stood firm for two solid weeks. And then, yeah, we're back in the journey. But how many of you know, because there's a principle in play, and that's this. It's like where your treasure goes, there your heart will go also. My heart went there because our treasure went there as well. And Jesus talked about this principle. He said it this way, Matthew 6:21, he says, "For where your treasure is, where you put your treasure, there your heart will be also." Do you know what Jesus was teaching us? Our heart is not a leader, our heart is a follower. Where you direct your treasure, he says, that's where your heart will go. What we give our treasure towards, that is what we will value, that's what we love. And I know this, that when you and I, when we bring our tithe to God, when we give to God, what we're doing is it's actually an expression to tell our hearts to point in this direction. It's pointing our desire, it's pointing our love towards him, because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The tithe points the direction and it points the positioning of my heart. You know, I was listening to a documentary actually about a guy by the name of Colonel Sanders. That's right. The real Colonel Sanders, the KFC guy. You know, what a fascinating story besides actually, you know, multiplying fried chicken all around the world. He's got a fascinating little backstory. And I heard him talking about it on this story. And so the story of Colonel Sanders was actually that he didn't start the KFC franchise until his 60s. And anyway, he started that off. And then in his 60s, he became very prosperous and went very, very well. And one day he was 66 years old. And he walked back into a church for the first time, he said, in many, many years. And Colonel Sanders walked into this church and he heard a sermon. He heard a message preached. And actually that particular day, he said, as he heard that message preached, he said, my heart was just, you know, filled with God's love for the first time. At the end of that message, he came forward, he responded and he gave his life to Christ. When he was there on that altar, he was there with a guy by the name of Pastor Wayman. He asked Pastor Wayman, he said to him, do you want to be born again? Do you want to receive Christ in your life? He said, yes, I do. And then the colonel looked at him and he said, also, could God help me with my cussing? He says, I've been cussing. He said, God, could God help me with my cussing? He said, yes, of course he could. And he prayed with him. And that day, the colonel actually gave his life to Christ. And he said, from that time on, he said, all of the cussing stopped. He said straight away, because he wasn't trying to stop it. He just said, when God came into my life, he said, he began to change me from the inside out. And that's what I love, because you know what? The message of the gospel is not for you and I to try harder. The message of the gospel is not you and I trying to become a better person. The message of the gospel is actually that God will come and actually live on the inside of us, and he will make us into a brand new person. And he will change us from the inside out. And that's exactly what happened to the colonel, is that God began to do this incredible work. And he got saved at 66 years old. And you know what? He discovered that I believe, most powerful truth that we find in Scripture, that we don't have to change ourselves. The only thing you and I have to do is actually surrender our life to God. And so the colonel got saved. He actually tells a story that he got healed supernaturally. He had these lumps in his abdomen. He got healed that very same week. And here's the fascinating part after that. He says after he'd had this encounter, after he'd given his life to Christ, he came back the next week to see Pastor Wayman, and he presented to him a check to Pastor Wayman for $30,000, which in that particular day now was a very, very large sum of money. And he said, that's my tithe. And I heard Colonel Sanders talk about it afterwards. And this was his quote. He said this about his giving. He said, my giving is simply an expression of my thankfulness. God has simply been so good to me. Do you know, the colonel wasn't giving from out of obligation. He wasn't giving because out of it was a duty. The colonel actually gave because his heart had been changed. And I want to tell you, that's exactly the way God wants it to work in our life, that our heart and our giving are always linked. Our heart and our giving are always linked. And you know, the Bible is filled with, we're going to grab the musos up here this morning. You know, the Bible is filled with incredible, not just incredible principles, but incredible promises as well. In our life, you know, there are three major promises in the Bible that God gives us. I call them tithers' rights that he gives us. The first is the promise of provision. The second is the promise of his protection. And the third is the promise of his peace. All of those three things happen when you and I give our lives to Christ. But those things happen when you and I also make God the Lord over our finances and Lord of our life. God's promise is that he would provide. God's promise is for us. It says here in the book of Proverbs, it says that we would honor the Lord with our wealth, with our first fruits. It says, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. What that's speaking of here is it's speaking of the abundance and the blessing of God in our life. God wants to pour out into our life his blessing and his favor. But how does that happen? That happens when you and I make God our provider and you and I make God our source. You know, the Bible promises as well that he would protect us. In the book of Malachi, we spoke about the scripture. It says, God says, I'll open up the floodgates of heaven, pouring out so much blessing. But straight after that, he says this, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You see, this is a promise here that God gives us of his protection. The Bible is here speaking here. It's speaking of here of the devil, the enemy. He said, he's like a devourer. Jesus described him this way, as he's come to rob and steal and destroy from us. There's a devourer who wants to take things from our life. He wants to cause us not to walk in God's blessing, but he wants us to cause us to walk in other ways. And so it says here, he says, I will rebuke the devourer. That's a picture here. It's saying, God says, I'm going to get between you and the devourer. I'm going to stop every work and every scheme of the enemy. You see, what begins to happen is when you and I begin to give, God gets involved in our life. He starts to become not only our provider, but his promise is that he'll become our protector as well. And here's the final one I want to finish on, because I actually believe that while it's awesome and God has promised to provide, and most certainly God has promised to be our protection in our life, I believe one of the greatest promises that we can have, and it's a promise that we find in Jesus, it's the promise of his peace. God wants you and I to live in peace. I don't think there would be one thing that is greater that would be a more significant trigger for worry and anxiety than money. God does not want you and I to live under worry or fear or anxiety with our finances. You see, the power of us giving, I believe, is to break that over our life. That God does not want us to be driven by those things, but actually that in our life, that we would discover this thing, it's called peace. You know, I'm not going to go into the story, but you know, in the Old Testament, one of the first instances we see of actually giving, it's a guy by the name of Abraham. He comes to a guy by the name of Melchizedek. Pretty much most Bible scholars agree it was a pre-incarnate Jesus. Abraham comes, and after this God's protection and provision in Abraham's life, Abraham willingly gives a tenth to Melchizedek, the pre-incarnate Jesus. You know what's fascinating about that? Melchizedek was called the king of Salem. The word Salem, it means peace. God wants to bring peace. When you and I surrender our lives to Jesus, you and I can discover a peace that we will never find in this world. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave to you." Not a peace that you will find in this world. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And I find this, when we surrender our hearts and our lives to him, we'll discover a peace that can fill our hearts and a joy that can fill us and an incredible future that God has for us, that we don't have to live under fear or anxiety, but we can walk in faith. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week. We hope you enjoyed the message.